So we're in chapter 16, lesson 16, and we quickly covered sections 1 through 3. Let's go back to section 2, so 16.2, bottom of page 91, and review the alphabet. So there you have both the uppercase and the lowercase letters, the uncials, the capitals, and the minuscules are the lowercase letters. So alpha, beta, gamma, delta, epsilon, zeta, eta, theta, iota, kappa, lambda, mu, nu, xi, omicron, pi, rho, sigma, tau, upsilon, phi, chi, psi, omega. Okay, so let's say through that list together. Alpha, beta, gamma, delta, epsilon, zeta, eta, theta, iota, kappa, lambda, mu, nu, xi, omicron, pi, rho, sigma, tau, upsilon, phi, chi, psi, omega. Okay, so hopefully as we carry on reading, those will all sink in and you'll get to learn the order of the alphabet. Section 3, we learned that the capital letters are used in printed editions of the New Testament, used in three instances, to introduce direct speech, introduce a new paragraph, and for proper names. So for names and titles and places. Generally, they are not used for a new sentence. A new sentence just uses a lowercase small letter. Okay, so now we'll pick up at section 4 and move on. So some vocabulary. First of all, the verb eimi. This is the verb to be in the present tense. Eimi, ei, estin, esmen, este, eisen. So eimi, ei, estin, esmen, este, eisen. So that's eimi, I am. Ae, a you are, estin, he is, esmen, we are, este, you are, plural, and asin, they are. Okay, so again, ame, a, estin, esmen, este, asin. Good. Then the little word de meaning but or and. And like gar and un, this is always the second word in the sentence or clause. It'll never appear as the first word. And you have to use context to decide whether it's but or means and or whether you even translated it at all. Often you wouldn't bother, you wouldn't translate it. But it's drawing some sort of connection, disjunctive or conjunctive, with the previous sentence. So, for example, ego de uk eimi, ego de uk eimi, but I am not, and there would be some previous sentence that the de there is contrasting with. Then we can have ha de, where ha there is the just the article. So it means he, ha is masculine singular nominative of the article, and hoite, they. So you could have, for example, ha de lege, he says. Now you look at that and go, well, okay, I see the ha there, that's the article, but there's no noun to go with it. The noun is subsumed in that and then also serves as the subject of that verb. And we can have ude. Ude means and not or nor. So, for example, uk e ha Christos, ude ha prophetes. Uk e ha Christos, ude ha prophetes. You are not the Messiah. So that's the uk e ha Christos, ude ha prophetes, nor the prophet. So that's ude on its own, but if you have ude, it means neither, nor, neither, nor. Then a couple of verbs, erotao. Erotao means I ask. And in the past tense, the epsilon on the front lengthens to an eta, erotesen. Erotesen, he asked. And in the plural, erotesan, they asked. Erotesan. Epen means he said, also in the past tense. And in the plural, epan or epon, they said. Un means so, therefore, or then, and is another of those little words that occurs second in the sentence. And so we have, as an example, epen un autois, so he said to them. And hoide epon auto tis un su, they said to him, then who are you? You notice in that case that de has not actually been translated. It indicates a sequence from the previous sentence. Okay, so with those bits of vocabulary, now we can move on to section 5 and translate these sentences. Number 1, hoide erotesan auton tise hoide epen martus emi kai martyro to Jesu. Hoide erotesan auton tis e hade epen martus emi kai martyro to Jesu. So they asked him, that's the hoide erotesan auton, and again there the de has not actually been translated. But the fact that it's there, you would have that normally carrying on for some other sentence, and it would just indicate sequence. Then they said, they asked him, but in English, just the fact that we're saying the sentence next implies the sequence. So they asked him, tis a, who are you? So note there the semicolon, which is the question mark. Hade epen. He said, now you could say then he said or but he said, but for us context tells us that it's the next thing that happens, so we don't need to state that explicitly, so we can leave the de untranslated. So he said, Martus Amy, I am a witness. So Amy, there I am. Kai martyro to Jesu, and I bear witness to Jesus. Number 2. Hoide epan martyres esmen humes de ten martyrian hemon u lambanate ude akaluthete to Jesu. Hoide epan martyres esmen humes de ten martyrian hemon u lambanate ude akaluthete to Jesu. Hoide epan, they said, again, we haven't bothered to translate the de there, martyres esmen, so that's the plural of what we had before, martus emi, so martyres is the plural of the noun. And esmen, we are. So we are witnesses. Humes de ten martyrian hemon u lambanate. But you, so the de there is helping to draw the contrast between esmen, we, and humes, you. But you, and then the verb u lambanate. Lambanate is to receive, you receive, so you do not receive ten martyrian hemon, our witness. Ude, so nor, and akaluthete is our next verb, to follow, so nor do you follow Jesus. Number 3, su mathetes, a, to Jesu, kai auton didaskalon kales, hemes de tu mouses, mouseos, esmen methetai. Su methetes e tu Jesu, kai auton didaskalon kales, hemes de tu mousseos esmen methetai. So that mousseos, it's a little hard to pronounce, the umlaut over the upsilon indicates that we pronounce the omega and the upsilon separately. So mousseos. Mousseos. Okay, su methetes a. So a is you are, with su as the pronoun for you. So you are a disciple, a methetes, to Yesu, of Jesus. And kai, and auton didaskalon kales. Kaleo we saw is to call. So kales is second person. You call him, the auton didaskalon. You call him teacher. Because that's what they call him. This is the title they give him. The didaskalon there has a capital delta. Hemeste tu mousseos esmen methetai. Hemeste, but we, so the de there helping to draw the contrast between the su and the hemes, between the you and the us. But we are methetai, disciples, to mousseos of Moses. Number four. Humes este tophos ton anthropon, hemes de ente scotia peripatumen. Humes este tophos ton anthropon, hemes de ente scotia peripatumen. So humes, you, este, you are, tophos ton anthropon, the light of men. Hemes de, but we, so the de there, helping to draw the contrast between the humes and the hemes, between the you and the we. So hemes de, but we, the verb is peripatumen. Peripateo is to walk, both literally in terms of taking, of actually walking from point A to point B, and then metaphorically of how you live your life. But we walk ente scotia in the darkness. No, well, strictly you don't, because it would be included in the peripatumen. But you have it, you don't need either the humes or the hemes. But they're both in there for emphasis to help draw this contrast between the humes and the hemes. So one way to think of it is, think of the humes as being, pointing the finger, you are the light of man, but we walk in darkness. Number five, ude ekale autus, ude elale autois. Ude ekale autus, ude elale autois. So the ude is neither nor. Ekale from kaleo to call, and elale from laleo to speak or talk. So neither was he calling them, nor was he speaking to them. Now kaleo, its object is in the accusative case, the autus, and the object of laleo there, it's in the dative case, so it's an indirect object to speak to someone, because the direct object would be the words that you are speaking, but we don't have a reference to those. Okay, number six, ha de epen autois, uk emi ha eleas, hoi de erotesan auton, tis un su. Ha de epen autois, Uk emi ha eleas, hoide erotesan auton, tis un su. Hoda epen autois, he said to them, Uk emi ha eleas, I am not Elijah. Hoide erotesan auton, they asked him, tis un su, who therefore are you, or who then are you? With the semicolon there as a question marker. Number 7. Uk este humes hoi kaluntes me ala ego emi ha kalon humas. Uk este humes hoi kaluntes me ala ego emi ha kalon humas. Uk este humes, so you are not. Again, the humes there, strictly speaking, not necessary, but it's put in for emphasis. Hoi kaluntes, the ones who are calling. Me is the object, the ones who are calling me. So you are not the ones calling me. Ala ego emi, but I am ha kalon humas, the one who is calling you. So the humas, humes there, contrasting with the ego, neither of them, strictly speaking, necessary, but those two pronouns put in for emphasis. So a reminder, ha kalon, it's a participle referring to the one who is doing the action of that verb of calling. Number 8, epen un autois, ean terete tas entelas mu, genoskete ton theon, hagar me teron autas, ude genoske ton theon, ude agapa auton. Epen un autois, ean terete tas entelas mu, genoskete ton theon, ha gar me teron autas, ude genoske ton theon, ude agapa auton. Epen un autois, so he said to them, or therefore he said to them, then he said to them. Ean is if, from a few chapters ago. Terete, tereo is to keep. Tas entelas, the commandments, mu, my commandments. So, ean terete tas entelas mu, if you keep my commandments, genoskete ton theon. This is the then part that follows the if. You know God. Ha gar, gar there being the second word of the phrase, for or because. Ha me teron, the one who does not keep autas, them. And then we have ude, ude, neither nor. Ude genoske ton theon, neither knows God. Ude agapa auton, nor loves him. Okay with that. Right, section 6. Let's read this and then work our way through and translate it. So I'll read it through first. Kai aute esten he martyria tu Ioannou tu Baptistu hote erotesan auton sutis e kai epen autois ego uk emi ha Christos hoide erotesan auton tis un su. Eleas e epen autois ha Ioannes uk emi. Ha prophetes e su. Hada epen autois u. Epan un auto tis e. Teleges peri se autu. Kai epen autois ha Ioannes. Ego phone boontos ente eremo. καθώς επεν Hesaias ha prophetes, kai erotesan auton legontes, te un baptizes, ei uk ei ha Christos ude eleas ude ha prophetes. Okay, let's try reading that together. Kai haute estin he martyria tu Ioannu tu baptistu hote erotesan auton su tis e kai epen autois ego uk emi ha Christos hoide erotesan auton tis un su eleas e epen autois ha Ioannes, uk emi, ha prophetes ei su, ha de epen autois u, epan un auto tis ei, tid leges peri se autu, kai epen autois ha Ioannes, ego phone bauntas en te eremo kathos epen Esaias ha prophetes kai erotesan auton legontes te un baptizes e uk e ha Christos ude eleas ude ha prophetes. Well, let's take that phrase by phrase. Kai haute esten he martyria tu Ioannu tu baptistu. Are you Elijah?
Yeah,
are you Elijah? Epen autois ha Ioannes? John said to them, uk emi. I am not. Ha prophetes eisu? Are you the prophet?
Mm-hmm.
Ha de epen autois? But he said to them, u.
No.
Epan un auto? Therefore they said to him, tis a. Who are you? Tid leges peri se autu, and se auton, we're told, means yourself. Here it's in the agentive case. Tid leges peri se autu, and peri is about. Te is what? So, well, in this case, te, tis is who. When it's masculine, te here is neuter, and it means what. So, te leges peri se autu. What do you say about yourself? What do you say about yourself? Kai epen autois ha Ioannes. And John said to them, ego phone bauntas en te eremo. And we read that bauntas means of a person shouting. It's from the verb ba'ao, I shout. And bauntas is a participle of that. So ego phone bauntas en te eremo. Eremos is the wilderness or the desert. So I am the voice or the sound of a person shouting in the wilderness. Kathos epen Hesaias ha prophetes. Right. As Isaiah the prophet said, kai erotesan auton legontes. Okay, and they asked him, saying, or legontes, we can translate just as being open quotation marks. Te un baptizes, e ouk ei ha Christos, ude eleas, ude ha prophetes. So first, te un baptizes, ei. So te un baptizes. So te un, we're told, is why then? Okay, why then do you baptize? A uk a ha Christos. And the a first a there is if, and the second a is the verb you are with a circumflex over it. Okay, if you are not the Christ, ude eleas ude ha prophetes. Nor Elijah, nor the prophet. So why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ, so not the Messiah, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? So the Jewish, and these particularly the Pharisees, wanted to know of John. Who is he? Is he the coming one? Is he... And the categories for thinking of this, is he the prophet? Is he Elijah? Is he the Messiah? So do you know what the, why they're wondering if he is the prophet or Elijah, what they're referring to there in the Old Testament? The reference to Isaiah is just, he's saying, I am the voice of one calling in the wilderness, as the prophet Isaiah said, which is, that's a reference to Isaiah chapter 40. Where he's quoting out of that. Back in Deuteronomy, Moses promised, told the Israelites that God would send a prophet, another prophet like him. So ever since the death of Moses, the Jews have been waiting for the prophet, the one like Moses, to come. And then at the end of Malachi, we read that before the day of the Lord, that the Lord would send Elijah to prepare that. So this is why they're wanting to know, is he that prophet, the promised prophet? Is he Elijah who is preparing the way for the Lord? Well, Jesus said, because then the disciples asked Jesus, well, Jesus said, who do people say that I am? And his disciples, well, some say that you are the prophet, some say that you are Elijah. And Peter says, but you are the Christ. And Jesus said that Elijah has come, and it was, and that he identified him as John the Baptist. Yeah, John the Baptist, although John the Baptist himself did not recognize that. And they sing a song in Passover service. There's a whole place setting for Elijah. And at one point in the Passover Seder, they open the door to see if Elijah's at the door. And they sing a song about Elijah who is coming. Eliyahu Haba'ah. Okay, we have in section 7 some translation notes on how to best translate this passage. Section 16.7. So firstly, hoide erotesan auton, tis un su. So they asked him, who are you then? So tis un su, literally, who then you? And in English, we need to, one, put in the word are. And this is often found in other languages, they can do very happily without the verb to be. And it's just assumed, but in English, we tend to have to specify that and add that in. And then to put then at the beginning or end of the question, then who are you or who are you then? I should disagree with him on that. I think who then are you is, that's just fine in English. Next one, B, ego phone bauntas, literally I, voice of one shouting. And in English, we have to add in the verb to be again. I am the voice of a person shouting, or I am the voice of someone who is shouting. C, erotesan auton legontes te. So literally they asked him saying why, and legontes saying indicates that the words they said will follow, and in English we usually indicate this by quotation marks. So we can translate they asked him why, or they asked him this question why. So they're treating open quotation marks as a valid translation of legontes. You don't actually have to render that with a word. And this is picking up a standard Hebrew idiom from the Hebrew Bible that uses that regularly, or the Hebrew equivalent of that regularly. Okay, what I now want to do is go back and read section 6 again, and hopefully see if you follow it along and see if you can follow the sentence. Now that we've translated through it in English, see if you, as I read it in Greek, you can follow along the meaning. Okay? Kai haute esten he martyria to Ioannou tu baptistu haute erotesan auton su tis ei kai epen autois ego uk emi ha Christos hoi de erotesan auton tis un su eleas ei epen autois ha Ioannes uk emi ha prophetes ei su ha de epen autois u epan un auto tis ei tit leges peri se autu kai epen autois ha Ioannes ego phone bauntas en te eremo kathos epen hesaias ha prophetes kai erotesan auton legontes te un baptizes e uk e ha Christos ude eleas ude ha prophetes. Okay, were you able to make any sense of that and follow along and understand it as I read it in Greek? A little, maybe. So with that as some vocabulary, let's now try and make our way through this section here, John 1, 19 through 25. So, kai haute esten he martyria tu Ioannou, so that you should be able to get quickly. Kai haute esten he martyria tu Ioannou. Okay, yeah. So it's exactly the same as our reading in section 6. Kai haute esten he martyria tu Ioannou. And this is the testimony of John. Haute apestelan prosauton hoi judaioi ex Jerusalemon. Well, let's just get haute apestelan prosauton hoi judaioi. And apestelan is they sent, so. Okay, when the Judean authorities, when the Jews, in this case we're taking it as being the religious leaders based in Judea, sent to him, ex Jerusalemon, hieres kai levitas, so ex is out or out from Jerusalemon. You can have a guess at that. From Jerusalem. Yep. And then hieres kai levitas. Hieres, we read, are the priests. And levitas, you can have a guess at that. And the Levites. Yep. Yep. So that's further specifying who these hoi judaioi are. So when the Jews from Jerusalem, so the priests and the Levites, sent to him, hina erotesosen auton, uh-huh. so they might ask him, Su tis ei? Who are you? Kai homologesen, kai uk ernesato. So we're told homologesen is he admitted or he declared, and ernesato he denied. Okay, and he confessed and he did not deny. Kai homologesen hoti ego uk emi ha Christos. Okay, and he confessed or he declared, I am not the Christ, so I am not Messiah. Kai erotesan auton te un. Okay, and they asked him, who then? Or what then? Te is neuter, so it would be what rather than tis, it would be who. Te un, what then? Su helias e? Are you Elijah? Kai lege uk emi? And he said, I am not. Ha prophetes e su? Are you the prophet? Kai apekrithe u? And he answered, no. Epan un auto tis e. So epan un, so they said. Tis e? Who are you? Who are you? So a, you are, tis is the interrogative pronoun, who? Who are you? Hina apokrisin domen, tois pempsasin hemas. And we're told, yep, so hina apokrisin domen, we're told is so that we may give an answer, tois pempsasin to the ones who have sent, and then hemas, us. So we might give an answer to those who sent us. Te leges peri seautu. Yeah, so this we had in our reading in section 6. And seauton is yourself. So what do you say about yourself? Efe, so he said. And now we get his quote, and this in our printed text is set off and put in italics to indicate we have a quote from the Old Testament, the Hebrew Bible. Ego phone bauntas ente eremo. So that too we had from our reading in section 6. Yeah. I am the voice of one crying in the desert. Euthynate ten hodon. And euthynate is make smooth, and hodos is road. Yeah, so make smooth or make straight the road of the Lord or the way of the Lord. Kathos epen hesaias ha prophetes. As the prophet Isaiah said, Kai apestalmenoi hesan ekton pharisaion. So apestalmenoi is sent, so people who were sent. And hesan is the it's a past tense of Amy. So in the third person plural, so they were. So you'll see there, Asan has next to it the superscript 16. You look down at the bottom of your page, it says Ami, 3P, so that's third person plural. IMPF is imperfect, active indicative of the verb to be. So third person plural means it's going to be they, and the imperfect they were. So they were apostelmenoi. So we're told that's sent. So they were people who were sent, ekton pharisaion. From the Pharisees. So, and they were sent from the Pharisees. Kai erotesan auton, kai epan auto. Yeah, so here we have, for instance, of they asked him and they said to him, or we can just say they asked him, te un baptizes, e su uk e ha Christos, ude Elias ude ha prophetes. So this is exactly the same as our last sentence of section 6. Okay. Te un baptizes. Why then do you baptize? Esu uk e ha Christos. If. So that first a there is if. Su is the pronoun if you. And then A, the second A is the verb to be, so you are, if you are not the Christ, ude Elias, nor Elijah, ude ha prophetes, nor the prophet.
Does the word why imply?
Why?
Well, it's in te. So te. Tis, te is it's the interrogative pronoun. We had that a number of lessons ago. So tis, which would be masculine or feminine, would be who, referring to a person. And then te is neuter, referring to what or why. Okay, so interrogative.
In verse 19, why is post-anton in brackets?
Because not all the ancient manuscripts have it.
Oh, okay.
Right, from the NASB italicizes, it indicates that they've supplied words that are not there in the original Greek. Okay, well done. You've made it through another section of John chapter 1. Okay, well, maybe what I should do there is let me read that passage again and have you follow it along, and just like I did for section 6, see if you can follow the meaning along as I read it in Greek. Kai haute esten he martyria tu Ioannou, haute apestelan pros auton hoi Judaioi, ex Ierosolumon, Hieres kai Levitas, Hina erotesosin auton, Su tis e, kai homologesin, kai uk ernesato, kai homologesin, hati ego uk emi ha Christos, kai erotesan auton, te un. Su Elias e, kai lege uk emi, ha prophetes e su, kai apekrithe u, epan un auto tis e, hina apokrisin domen, tois pempsasin hemas, te leges peri se autu, efe, ego phone bauntas en te eremo, euthynete ten hodon kuriu, kathos epen hesaias ha prophetes, kai apestalmenoi esan ekton pharisaion, kai erotesan auton, kai epan auto, te un baptizes, e su uk e ha Christos, ude Elias, ude ha prophetes. Okay. able to make some sense of that as I read it along. Right, section 9. This is now for learning the art of translation. So translation, partly there's a science to it, and partly there's an art to it. And so this is to one of these periodic exercises to develop the art of translation. So which is the best English translation? Erotesen auton legon. Tis un su. So our options are, he asked him, saying, who then are you? He asked him who he was. He asked him, who are you then? So which of those three would you favor? C, and why? So why not A or B, and why C? Okay, we don't need to have the saying. We can best translate the legon as open quotation marks.
Uh-huh.
Well, all three of these essentially mean the same thing. So as I say, we're here. This is to work on the art of translation rather than the science of translation.
B is
taking the translation, the whole idea of a translation, even further. And gotten rid of the direct speech altogether.
But I don't really see the difference in A and C, though.
The difference between A and C is how we translate the legon. So do you translate legon literally as saying, or do you translate it just as open quotation marks? That's the difference.
Okay.
I would agree that the best way to translate legon, this occurs a lot, and it occurs a lot in Old Testament Hebrew, the Hebrew equivalent of this, which is lemor. And rather than pedantically translating all the time as saying, you just translate it as quote, or open quotation marks. Okay, so we can take that. He asked him, who are you then? Number two. Kai erotesan auton, kai epan auto, te un baptizes, e su uk e ha Christos. And our options here are A. And they asked him and they said to him, why therefore do you baptize if you are not the Messiah? B. So they asked him this question, and why do you baptize people if you are not the Messiah? And C. So they questioned him and they said to him, if you are not the Messiah, why do you baptize? So I should say, part of the art of translation, so the science of translation is just a wooden translation, but the art is you want to convey something that reads well in English and uses English idiom. So that's what Dobson's trying to get at here. So what are the pros and cons of each of these? Okay, yep, A is a very wooden word-for-word translation. And so would we actually say that in English? And they asked him and they said to him. No, we don't really use that. But here, the Greek has it like that, but it's using a Hebrew idiom from the Hebrew Bible. They asked him and they said to him, and we would, in English, typically condense that into they asked him, or they asked him this question. Yeah, we're yes. But I'm going to want you to defend your ideas. Why would they translate Christ as Messiah? Well, actually, if you take a look at the TNIV and compare it with the NIV, the TNIV. Renders it usually as Messiah, where the NIV has Christ.
It may be true, but the words of Christ, the Greek says Christ, not Messiah.
Right, but for your average English speaker, as they're reading that, that's not going to mean anything to them. But Christ simply means Messiah. They both mean the same thing, the anointed one. Messiah is Hebrew. Christos is the Greek equivalent. Well, the original text was all written in capitals. Okay, yep, English is probably better, more concise than B. So C, we still have this problem, they questioned him and they said to him, so we've still kept that double verb, which really we don't use in English. B has changed from why do you baptize to why do you baptize people, so it has supplied an object, which is not there, the baptizes. Now, you could say, well, what are you baptizing? Well, he's not baptizing pots and kettles and things like that, although the Pharisees did that. He's baptizing people, so that has just made that more explicit. Mm-hmm. And then number three, adelphoi mu, uk entelein kainen grapho humen. And our options here, brothers of me, not a commandment new I write to you. Okay, that one's out. That is the literal word-for-word translation. My brothers, to you I'm writing a commandment that is not new. And see, my brothers, it is not a new commandment that I'm writing to you. So here are two for C and one for B. So why B and why C? Now in this case, we actually do have to pay attention to the Greek word order. What would be the plain vanilla word order in the Greek there? Right, so it puts the emphasis on the commandment. The plain vanilla order would be subject, verb, object. So, uk grapho, entelein kainen humen. I do not write a new commandment to you. But instead, the entelein kainen has been moved up in the sentence. It has been moved ahead of the verb to place that into an emphatic place. So it's together with the uk, the negator. So to capture that in English, we then have to say something like, it is not a new commandment that I am writing to you. So A and B, A is just a very strict literal wooden translation. B puts the emphasis on the to you, which is the last word of the sentence. It's the word that is not emphasized at all. And C puts the emphasis on it is not a new commandment, which is the object being emphasized. Okay? Section 10. So we have a summary here of the present tense of the verb to be, which we encountered earlier in this lesson, and then the past tense, the imperfect, of the verb to be, which we're encountering here for the first time. So the present tense of the verb to be, eimi, e, estin, esmen, este, eisin. Okay, together. Eimi, e, estin, esmen, este, eisin. So I am, you are, he is, we are, you are, they are. And then in the past, so in the imperfect, amen, ace or aestha, ain, amen or ametha, ete, esan. Amen, ace or aestha, ain, amen or ametha, ete, and esan. So I was, you were, he was, we were, you were, they were. And then a note here to revise lessons 9 and 10. And they were to do with lesson 9 was the learning the noun, the feminine noun, and lesson 10 was learning the pronoun hemes, homes, and hos. So those are going to be used in the next chapter, lesson 17. But I don't really want to start in on that now. We'll pick that up in January when we resume on January the 9th. Just review. Sorry, yeah, Dobson is British. This would be a standard British way of, when you revise, you go back and you review it all and you, that's what, revision is getting ready for a test. You're looking, you revise something as you get, you're getting ready for a test.